This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm here with Chris Kemp, CTO for IT at NASA. How are you doing, Chris?
Hi, good morning. Doing great.
Just want to let the audience know, Chris is on his way to the airport right now. There's a taxi cab out front waiting to take him, and I grabbed him. And I got him locked in the studio here for the next half hour. Because he's a fascinating guy. He's got quite an interesting background, and I think he can benefit many of my listeners, just his wide range of experiences. In a few years, he's been on the planet. But before we begin, many of my listeners always just scratch their heads, and they go, well, geez, Chris Kemp, he's kind of a young guy. He's done all these things. How did he wind up at NASA? Maybe you can share that with our audience.
Sure. So I was actually up in Seattle running a startup, and I met some folks that were coming down to Ames Research Center to start working on some small satellite work, and ran into a gentleman named Pete Warden, who's a visionary scientist, a very inspirational guy, and he asked me to come in to interview down at NASA. And I came down, I talked to some folks, and one thing led to another, and applied for a job as a business development person. We later started.
This is the fascinating part. If you Google Chris, you find out that he's been involved in several very successful startups, and then he became the business development person at NASA, then the technology person, and now he's got this interesting title of CTO for IT. I think the software developers I work with would love to get you in a room and talk to you for a few hours about this. So we know you have this wide, varied background, and you're in this unique position at NASA, where they created pretty much for you. Tell us what your position is now and what you do with NASA.
Sure. So I'm the Chief Technology Officer for IT. I work with our CIO, Linda Kiraton, and I'm responsible for what we call the Innovation Division. And what our goal is to make sure that Linda is always aware of emerging technologies that have relevance to NASA's mission. So I run a group called IT Labs, and we're looking for new technologies, whether it's cloud computing, new collaborative technologies, new networking technologies. And when there's a significant interest by our mission community, we're going to do prototypes, and then we're going to take those prototypes and we're going to do technical case studies. When they have merit, when there's real application to NASA's mission, we'll then work with the Enterprise Architecture Group, which I'm also responsible for, to do business cases. And then we'll prioritize those investments, and then ultimately they'll turn into enterprise services, which our CIO will support.
Oh, that's great. I think many of my listeners have been reading the newspapers in the Washington Post. Right around Thanksgiving, there was an article and the big headline was, agencies look for a cloud option. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is here is people who are listening are getting pushed into cloud computing, whether they like it or not. And I thought maybe you could share with us some of your successes with this strange concept called Nebula, mm-hmm. and talk about these partnerships with Google and Microsoft at the same time, sure. which is kind of interesting. Let's talk about this cloud computing option. Talk about Nebula. What is Nebula, and what does it do for NASA?
Sure. So a few years ago, I was trying to solve the problem of NASA's really fragmented web presence. We have thousands of public-facing websites. And so our concept was, let's create a platform where all these thousands of cool NASA missions and projects and organizations that are out there on the web building websites can build their site on a more organized, cohesive web platform. So we don't have all these different systems out there. So it's part of this consolidation effort. We realized, though, because of FISMA, allowing thousands of people to upload code to one site, one server, was probably not going to work, because all it takes is one bad line of code, you compromise the entire environment, either from a security perspective or from an availability perspective. So Nebula really was the genesis there was to use virtualization to create all these separately contained from a FISMA perspective environments, but on a single platform. So a set of platform services that can power NASA's entire web presence. And so Nebula started as a place where public web sites that, you know, are not really highly secure environments, these organizations doing these public websites could build on a cohesive platform. And so it's really grown from there over the past few years to be an infrastructure. That focus on virtualization became a focus on an infrastructure as a service offering where we have compute and storage. And as most great ideas, our original idea for the thing is not what ended up really having traction at NASA. What had traction was we have this research community that typically buys Linux workstations and science workstations and clusters in their lab environments. And so what Nebula is largely being used for right now is instead of buying a second computer and putting it on your desk to do scientific data processing, you can instantly provision compute resources and use it. And so we see it as kind of another basic level of entitlement. We give people laptops at NASA. We give people compute and storage. And so they don't have to buy it.
And I think many of my listeners realize this, some don't, is that from a software developer's perspective, if you request space in a server, it may take several days to accomplish this task in most large organizations. With a flexible environment, you can, as they say, spin up a server in a heartbeat. You can just get in there quick, run that thing back off. You don't have to worry about all. So just the fact that it's consolidated is one benefit, but another benefit is just it adds the whole speed of any software development project, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different economic benefits here. One is when you buy, a workstation that you're using to do some data processing, the scientist is only using it when they're using it. And so if they're not at work at night, they don't typically keep it busy 90% of the time. So the typical utilization of infrastructure is about 20%. That's a good Gartner Forrester number. So if you're only using 20% of the infrastructure that you're buying, that's not very efficient. So Nebula allows us to use a shared resource model where all the infrastructure is shared across thousands of people, and it's generally run at 80 to 90% efficiency.
Yeah, that's one thing. I've been in the business much, much longer than you have, and I remember years ago we started looking at CPUs and CPU usage. It was like, 5%, 7%. And here it is, 20 years later, I can run a utility now, and I'm sure my CPU is going to be 5%, 7%.
Yeah.
And it drives the data processing people crazy because it's like you're having this huge monstrous truck in your garage, and you can only go back and forth in the driveway. You can't take it out on the road.
That's
all this power. And Nebula allows that to be very efficient.
Yeah.
One other concept that I think many of my listeners are concerned with is Vivek Kundra earlier this year in the spring, he talked about the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative. All kinds of ways to tackle this. I mean, all kinds of ways. You can look at virtualization as one way, consolidation, cloud computing, all kinds of ways. I think you have some insight into attacking it from energy consumption.
Hmm? Yeah. So first thing I'll say is that there's no silver bullet here. When an agency looks at how it responds to what OMB is asking us to do, first thing it needs to do is it needs to understand its environment. It needs to go out there, understand what's consuming power, what applications are people using, what applications are people not using. And really the biggest opportunity is in decommissioning things that people aren't using or where they're redundant systems. So if you have 50 different people running Oracle, you probably could go talk to Oracle, get an enterprise license, and run that in two or three different places and provide a better service.
Now, my guess is there's servers out there that are being patched and never used.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the frustrating part, huh?
Yeah. And so, our goal at NASA is to understand the environment. And so we're doing that in a couple of different ways. We're looking at it from asset management perspective. We're looking at it uniquely from a power consumption perspective. So we're deploying these sensors across all of our different data centers. And I'm going to be able to look at a single dashboard and tell you how much power one of our facilities is consuming, one of our data centers is consuming, the equipment in one of our racks is consuming.
And even if you have a serial port going to a UPS, you can do that for them.
Yeah, yeah. And this is it's an interesting technology. It allows us to have an any-to-any interface. So any of the ports that are collecting this data that are typically just not hooked up right now are being hooked up, and then we're collecting that data.
We're talking with Chris Kemp here. Take a quick break. When we come back, talk a little bit more about data center consolidation. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Chris Kemp, CTO for IT at NASA.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on the Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Today we are speaking with Chris Kemp, CTO for IT at NASA. We've been talking about cloud computing initiatives and NASA's success with Nebula, but maybe you can put this in a framework for our listeners to maybe define Nebula a little bit more and how it contrasts maybe with the research folks and the enterprise folks.
Sure. So one of the things that became very obvious to us was that with data center consolidation, you have a lot of applications that are supported by companies like Microsoft and Oracle, SAP, and thousands of other companies. And Nebula really isn't an appropriate environment for those applications because we haven't tested all these applications. So if you call tech support and you say, hey, we're having a problem with this application, we're running it in Nebula, they're going to laugh at us. So it's a great environment, it's high performance, it's super cheap. But we also recognize the need for an enterprise private cloud. Just like we have a research private cloud for all of our scientists, we need an enterprise private cloud for all of our business application owners and all of these enterprise data centers running 20 years of applications that depend on more reliable infrastructure. And so we have a bifurcated strategy there. And then we also have a group we're forming called the Cloud Service Office. And so these are expert consultants that not only understand Nebula and the enterprise private cloud, but also understand all of these new consumer clouds that are coming out from Amazon, from Microsoft, Google, Terramark, VMware. By having expertise in all these areas, as we have a new application, we can consult with them and send them to the right place, architect a solution that involves cloud, but that appropriately uses these different technologies, because every cloud has different characteristics.
And you know, here we're in Washington, D.C., everyone talks about candidates, and they think about Republicans and Democrats. But from an IT perspective, you should look at an application as a candidate for the cloud and say, well, here's a candidate. Let me get my little check sheet and see if we can put it in A or B or C. Is it private cloud? Is it public cloud? What's the cheapest the cheapest way we can run this app?
Yep.
If it's some silly app, I mean, you can put it anywhere. But if it's more sensitive data, you have to, I guess, this headline that says, look for a cloud option, maybe we should preface that with private or public or well-selected cloud option. Hmm?
That's right. That's right. Because every cloud environment, whether it's infrastructure service, a platform, or a software service, each of these is a unique environment that has different characteristics, whether they're security characteristics, performance characteristics, price, cost characteristics. And as you bring an application, as you look at an application and say, what do we do with this application? Do we put it in a traditional data center? Do we put it out in the Amazon cloud? Do we put it in Nebula? Do we put it in an enterprise private cloud powered by Hyper-V or Citrix or VMware? We need to understand the characteristics of not only the application, but also the cloud environments so that we deploy it in the most cost-effective, efficient environment. So, I mean, I would recommend what we're doing at NASA to any federal agency. Get us a team of people who are agnostic to these different environments, whose only objective is to look at the application, look at what kind of environment it needs, and then use the right cloud, the right pairing between one or several clouds. And maybe it does belong in an enterprise data center.
Yeah.
It's a mainframe. You're not going to put it in the cloud.
Yeah. I can come up with an illustration here. I work with a lot of software developers, young guys. And this guy walked up to me and said, well, geez, just bought a townhouse and got this lawn. What kind of lawnmower should I get? Mm-hmm. And this guy shouldn't get a riding lawnmower. He probably shouldn't get a gasoline lawnmower. He probably needs a push mower or maybe one of those little trimmer things.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the answer I may give you or to someone else. And I think if you can take that concept, that construct, and apply it to this world of the cloud, and maybe the people of the Washington Post should understand that this cloud isn't just some black and white absolute issue here. There's a lot of nuances in here. Mm-hmm. And I think the experiences you've had at NASA can let my listeners know that No. Maybe there are some nuances here. Maybe there's different ways to structure this. Maybe there's one way to have license-type software on one system and open source on another. I mean, there's ways to do this judiciously.
Yep. And one of the things that we're doing with the open source cloud, Nebula, is we're trying to drive standards. Because at the end of the day, when you start moving a lot of your applications and data into a cloud environment, you don't want to get locked in. You want to ensure that you're able to move data around so that you don't get locked into an expensive or otherwise difficult to get out of arrangement with a provider. And you also want to make sure that there's interoperability between these environments. And so interoperability, portability, and security are achieved through standards. And so the problem right now is that the standards process takes many years, and de facto standards are driving the cloud space. So APIs from providers like Amazon are not standards. They're de facto standards. And so by having a lot of different open source options that attempt to extend those APIs, we can drive those de facto standards and really be a reference implementation for some of the things that NIST is doing. And so as NIST says, hey, this might be a good way to think about data locality issues or ensuring that this data stays in our country, we can implement that in Nebula because we've got the source code there and then test it in an operational environment. And then if it works, we might have other, through OpenStack, which has adopted some of our computing engine in their project, that environment is now run by multiple commercial providers. So it's a virtuous cycle of innovation.
I keep thinking of the early days of wireless. Mm-hmm. You remember those days. Everyone had a different wireless, A, B, C, D, who's all these. And then finally the Wi-Fi lines had said, oh, okay, this is what Wi-Fi is. And now we have get Wi-Fi just about anywhere. But in the early years, the early adopters are going to be all kinds of different flavors. That happened 10 years ago with wireless, 20 years ago, believe it or not, with word processors, mm-hmm. if you remember those. And I think it's happening now in the cloud. I mean, there's an initiative out there called the Open Cloud Manifesto, and that harks back to the old Agile yep. Manifesto from 10 years ago. It's yep. just like, okay, there's all the stuff out there. We got to come up with some kind of a common meaning for, what 10 or 20 or whatever term happens to be, some speed variations or some kind of, usually for interoperability, some standard way of exchanging information, yep. isn't it?
A lot of great examples here. The internet is a great example. I mean, there needs to be some level of interoperability so that your network and our network. And there was a big debate about, is it TCP/IP or is it IPX? There were a lot of options there.
Huge.
Proprietary options, open options. Ultimately, a standards process needs to drive towards interoperability so that these systems, and when we're talking about interoperability of compute and storage and various platforms and applications, when we talk about cloud, higher level constructs. So whereas networks were key 10 years ago, 15 years ago, today, and we had protocols like email, SMTP, that were very important to making sure that we could all communicate. Now it's just going up the stack. It's now we need interoperable calendars. We need interoperable applications, interoperable platforms, and interoperable infrastructure.
Yeah, it's more challenging, but that's what Nebula can do. It can almost test drive some of these theories and find out, nope, hey, fail early, fail fast. That's one of the Agile Manifesto's proponents, and I think maybe that's what the Open Cloud is going to say too. Hey, let's fail early, fail fast, because it's better than failing at the end of the race, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
We're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, I think we'll talk more about people who are listening who have heterogeneous types of data centers and how do you come up with standards in a heterogeneous environment. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Chris Kemp, CTO for IT at NASA.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Chris Kemp, who's the CTO for IT at NASA. If you'd like to get some more of the nuts and bolts of this discussion, you can fire up your little computer and go to Nebula, N-E-B-U-L-A, .nasa.gov, and get some information on Nebula and NASA and all the creative dynamic things that are happening at NASA. One question I'd have from a practical perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in a lot of data centers. I've seen a lot of good things, a lot of bad things. But what I have seen is a lot of diversity, you know. You find three different types of UPSs, four different types of UPSs, a green one, a pink one, a brown one. And it's the guy before me bought those, and the guy two guys before me, and the woman who my boss mandated this. And so you have this heterogeneous environment. So how can you standardize on that mixed environment?
Yeah. I mean, that's what makes this a challenge. I think that, again, you want a team of people who are going to look at each of these applications and attempt to virtualize them if that's what's appropriate, move them into a public cloud if that's what's appropriate, move them into a private cloud. You might even have several private clouds within your enterprise that have different security characteristics or reliability characteristics. And so I think that there's no silver bullet that a CIO can depend on here. But I will tell you one thing, that when you ask CIOs and you ask the people that run the infrastructure, why aren't you moving everything into the cloud? Why can't that just happen right now? There are really legitimate reasons why people can't move everything into the cloud. You'll never move mainframes into the cloud. We haven't even moved a lot of applications running on mainframes into modern applications in the last 20, 30 years. So I don't think everything belongs in the cloud, and I think we have to carefully look at the applications on a per application basis. And I also think that we need to understand that there are a lot of policies and procedures and processes that are deeply ingrained in the way people do business within IT organizations, within large federal agencies. And what the cloud does is it takes a lot of those business processes and it makes them opaque to these systems administrators. And so if you trust your people and your tools and your processes, you have a lot of things that you can't trust anymore. And if you don't trust it, you're not going to do it. And so one of the challenges we have with the cloud is making sure that we have the right kinds of CNA processes, the right kinds of hooks, so that you can trust the environment. And that's what Vivek Kundra is doing with FedRAMP. And I think that that's really a key element here is overcoming that trust issue so that you can believe that A, B, C, and D, those boxes are checked, and I've got really smart people that are on that. All I have to worry about is these other controls or these other concerns.
You know, it's interesting. We talked about FedRAMP about 2 weeks ago. We talked about recovery.gov. Mm-hmm. It's a SharePoint application hosted at Amazon and compliant with all the FISM requirements. Now, 10 years ago, you would have run out of the room if I would have said, this is two different competitors are going to host this application and it's going to comply with these tough FISM, which is hard to believe. Vivek says 2,100 data centers now going to reduce them by 40% in about 5 years. Boy, that is a goal, isn't it?
That's a huge goal. It's a real challenge. And I think it requires every CIO to really seriously take an accounting of what's out there, what's consuming power, because we're not going to have a huge amount of money to do that. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to select applications where money will be saved and then funnel that money back into a bow wave of low-hanging fruit, paying for the transition of, again, probably 80% of what's out there. I don't think 100% is the right target. I think a percentage that is efficient for a particular agency, and you need to figure out what that is. And you need to figure out what applications should we just leave alone and what applications should we start with today.
The analogy of the backyard for townhouse is it works. I mean, you don't have to take and buy one of those professional lawnmowers that's a ride behind. You know, maybe the application they're using now is fine, but it has to be examined. And I think that's the whole idea of taking a survey and finding out what you have both locally and geographically, which has got to be a challenge for NASA as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Different geographic locations. How many locations does NASA have now?
Well, we have 10 major centers, and we have different data centers spread across different partners across the world.
So you must have at least 100 data centers then, huh?
It's close to that number.
Wow.
I think 77 is the official number based on our definition of a data center.
So Vivek Kundra on December 9th is going to come up with some recommendations and talk about a detailed execution plan. I don't like the word execution. From maybe my listener's perspective is go to the cloud or you get executed, buddy.
Yep.
I don't think that's it. But they can learn some lessons from some experiences you had. And again, what you do is you do a survey first, and then find who the candidates are, and then try to move from there. Is that the...
That's right, and prioritize based on the greatest return on investment, because you will start saving money. You'll start spending less money on power. You'll start spending less money maintaining infrastructure, replacing infrastructure. I'll tell you a great story. This was about a year ago, an organization out at Ames when I was a CIO came to me and said, we just bought all these servers, and unfortunately, we don't have enough power in our building. Can you put them in your data center, Chris? And I said, no. This we provide a service. You should use our service. They came back, and ultimately, I made a deal with them where if we could take that infrastructure, virtualize it, put VMware on it in that case, and then sell the service of computers back to them. Right now, we've had over 400 servers virtualized onto 5 of those single servers. And so there are efficiencies to be gained here. The key is to select the applications carefully and strategically so that you can pump that cost savings back into moving forward with the consolidation.
Great advice, especially if you're getting pushed in the cloud without any upfront funding. That's a challenge all my listeners have. We're going to have to stop the interview here, maybe continue at a further time. Maybe the next time you're in town on the way to the airport, we'll snag you again. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest today, Chris Kemp, CTO for IT at NASA. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.